Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Hope you had a great break and a chance to stretch your legs a little bit. I am excited to turn this session over to Greg Wilnow with Wilnow Design. If you have been a member, Limitless member for a while, you probably have heard his name come up more than once. We're super lucky to have him as a partner. And he has really put together a lot of content for this summit for us today. And to kind of holistically go through everything from building your marketing funnel, making sure you have a website that works, and then looking at your website analytics. So Greg is going to lead the content, and Adam is going to chime in as he feels compelled to do so throughout the day. So, Greg, we will let you take it away. We're so happy to have you here with us today.
Awesome. Thank you for that introduction. It's great to be here. I love the Limitless community. I'm all sold out on the brand. So I'm excited to be able to share some of the stuff with you. Starting with building your marketing funnel. Let's just go ahead and dive in here. So, just to start, I'm Greg. I asked Adam if he would introduce me. So, Adam, you want to introduce me?
Greg and I talked last week about this, and my introduction is going to be about 4.5 seconds. Greg's my website guy, and he also does some pretty cool marketing stuff as well. There you go, Greg. Take it away. Now, so in all seriousness, this is a perfect example of why, again, the idea that time is our most finite commodity that we all have, and there are ideas that we have, and then there is the implementation of ideas. And ideas, again, from if you were in my first session, ideas don't pay the bills, clicks don't pay the bills, leads don't pay the bills, subscribers, follows, downloads, impressions, none of that pays the bills. At the end of the day, we have to have a process, a proven process, to be able to take someone that is in the that is in the interested realm, right? They've stumbled across your brand somehow. They've stumbled across you somehow. Speaking, podcasting, article, referral, networking, cold call, right? Whatever that might be, and we must have a way to nurture them. And while I have some ideas, I like to rely on people that have done this just a few more times than I have, which is more than two. And so Greg was and has been a resource for me over the years, beginning with the redesign of our website, of Integrated PWM's website, as well as then retooling, if you will, what I would consider V1 of the marketing funnel that I had within ActiveCampaign, which is the platform that I use. And last thing that I'll share before I turn it back over to Greg, the platform that I was using was ActiveCampaign. There are multiple platforms that you can use out there to basically take someone from the top level and take them down through a funnel to build your brand, build the trust, and ultimately give them a decision point, which gets them closer to becoming a client, which is what we are all striving for, because that, my friends, is what actually does pay the bills. So there, a little bit better than he's my website guy. Wouldn't you say, Greg? All right.
Thanks, Adam. I've got two other presentations today to introduce myself to. So if I want to shake it up in one of those, I'm sure I could, Adam, but that'll work for here. All right, let's go. Well, first of all, today we're going to help you build a marketing funnel. We're going to do 60 minutes of core training, and I'm going to go over some marketing funnel fundamentals. Then what we'll do is we'll wrap it up with a 30-minute Q&A. The goal here is also by the end, we're going to give you all next action steps so that you can get ready for the lifestyle workshop. During the lifestyle workshop, we are going to help you bring all of this together, and I'm going to show you how to create a really good foundational marketing funnel that's custom tailored to you based on the information that we're learning today and what we're going to be working through during the lifestyle workshop. Okay. Those next steps, just so you know, we're going to help you define your ideal client avatar so that you can create content that speaks to the types of people you want to work with so that they pay attention to you. We're going to help you decide your preferred communication channel or medium. So the place that you actually post the content on, the type of content, We want to help set you up for success by picking a channel that leverages your strengths. And then also, we're going to help you brainstorm three lead magnet concepts. So the lead magnet, I'll explain during the presentation, but the lead magnet is a thing that is going to take somebody from take a person who doesn't know about you to joining your email list. And there are some tricks that we've learned to do that. And I'm going to help you. You're going to walk away with brainstorming three of those to bring to the workshop. Sound good? All right. Okay. So before we dive in here, I just want to set some expectations. It was a challenge what to decide to put in this marketing funnel training. That's because there are so many different nuances, so many different facets, so many situations of marketing. And a big goal was just to decide what to leave out. So today, my goal is to give you basic knowledge and a framework to help you get started, and that you'll have a solid marketing funnel foundation. To be transparent, I don't know if this is going to get you results, okay? It's modeled based off of funnels that I've built for myself and my businesses, and also some of my clients. But everyone is different. Your situation is different. My clients' individual situations are different. And I'm not, I don't know your exact situation. So what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to experiment. All right. But I can say with conviction, after putting a lot of thought into what needed to be in this presentation today and what to teach you, that it will be a really great starting point and foundation for you to have success with a marketing funnel. Does that make sense? All right. Also, what I would love for you to do is say hi to me on LinkedIn. And then as we're going through this, anything that did it change slides on me? Sorry about that. Anything that you go through, share results with me, right? Like if something's working, you get the funnel live and you get your first call booked, let me know. Or if as you're doing this and you have questions and not sure what to do, shoot me over some questions. That's Greg at Greg Wilmar. All right. All right. So to start, let's talk about what is a marketing funnel. There are many different ways to answer this question, but I think about it a little bit different. So I'm wanting to start with this. First of all, how many of you have learned about marketing funnels in the past? You don't necessarily, you can't raise your virtual hand, but just answer that question to yourself. You're probably, depending on how much you've learned or how much you've been into this, you're probably not going to learn anything necessarily new today. I think 90%, 80% of marketing is just figuring out how to say the same thing a different way. And really, there's no secret bullets or silver linings here. It's pretty basic fundamental stuff. And basically, a marketing funnel, and make sure that I have my stuff here. I'm going to close this because it's in my way. Oops. One second. A marketing funnel is simply a system that is designed to turn an ideal prospective client into a paying customer, okay? And this is done in stages, like stages of a relationship. Unless you're reading some Jane Austen book, right? We don't meet somebody and then immediately get married, right? It takes time. The relationship progresses through stages. And it's the same with marketing, okay? There's an event that moves somebody from one stage to the next, further down the funnel, all right? And there's content in each stage that is designed to do that. All right. And an event could be anything you want. Quick examples. It could be visiting a page to download a lead magnet on your website. Right. This is a landing page. This is a lead magnet. It could be visiting your calendar, or scheduling a call. It could be reading a blog post, opening an email. There are so many different types of marketing funnels and so many nuances to this. But the one that I am going to help you guys build includes visiting a landing page to sign up for a lead magnet, downloading the lead magnet, receiving an email series, starts with a welcome email, followed by one, two, three emails that are designed to get them to use the lead magnet and receive value from it. Lead magnet PDF, okay, PDF, forgive my bad handwriting. And then these emails that go out, this goes out, the welcome email goes out immediately after they download the lead magnet. And these three emails go out every 24 hours after they download the lead magnet. Encourage them to visit your schedule a call page or your booking calendar and then book a call. All right. So once this call is booked, they have gone through the funnel and they are now into your sales process. Okay. So they're out of the funnel. All right. Does that make sense? So we have them visiting a landing page, downloading a PDF, receiving a four-part email series, inviting them to schedule a call, booking the call, and then they enter your sales process, okay? And then they're out of this funnel. All right? And there's just an overview of it. So we're going to talk about how to get people into the funnel, all right? We're going to talk about what makes a great lead magnet. And then I'm also going to cover with you guys some mental models. So like tips, tricks, and then other stuff that I've learned developing marketing funnels for myself, being in this for, I don't know, 12, 15 years, whatever it's been. And then also helping our clients. All right. Make sure I'm not going to the right page. There we go. All right. Let's talk about top of funnel, getting people in, content for your ideal client. Now, this is our marketing funnel again. And you can see above it, we have traffic. Now, traffic could be anything from blog posts, articles, podcast, webinar, guest post, public speaking, doing a workshop like this one. All of those things could be traffic that are designed to get people into your funnel, okay? We don't just want to create content. We want to get in front of the right people with that content and tailor the content to your ideal prospective clients. And then more importantly, we also want to make sure that the content makes signing up for your lead magnet a natural next step. And there's some tricks that I've learned over the years to do this. I told you I wouldn't give you any tricks, but some concepts that I'm going to share with you that I think will be helpful to do that. Adam, first, we want to make sure that you're writing content for your ideal client. So Adam's going to jump in here and talk about how to identify your ideal client.
Yeah, so this is the idea of, and this is probably the hardest part for advisors to get comfortable thinking of, because we've always grown up, professionally speaking, with this idea that yes is good, no is bad. And that we have to be meeting with anybody, taking anybody with money, et cetera. And so the idea of figuring out that it's okay to create content that repels 99.9% of the general population, and maybe that's, I'm taking it to the extreme given mine, but even if you're going to be, dare I say, specifically generic and be wanting to target with retirees, right? Like the demographic that Greg has up here, 50 plus, 1 million investable assets, low expense, zero debt. You're not going to be writing articles on student loans. You're not going to be writing articles on buying your first house. You're probably not going to be writing articles on how to use it, why using an UTMA account is a bad account for saving for college. I don't know, right? Have an opinion, stay true to it. Don't be a generalist. That's a different content lesson. But the idea of how to figure out who your ideal client avatar is. And we have exercises on this. We have an ideal client profile list or like an inventory on within the Limitless library. The first thing to go to, if you're in the very beginning stages of trying to figure this out, go through your top 25 clients and try and identify, and that's what we do. That's what our inventory on the website does. It has basically the client list and forces you, it gives you an idea, it gives you prompts to think through what are some of the qualitative and quantitative characteristics of these people. Why do you enjoy working with them? What are the qualities that make them up that resonate with you? So this is the idea of and going so far as to name your ideal client avatar, right? James is my ideal client avatar. James is an optometry practice owner that has owned his practice for at least 5 years. The practice is doing at least $1 million in top line revenue. Their top line concerns are how to proactively manage cash flow, reduce taxes, and invest prudently and utilize the cash of the business to build wealth through the business while not relying on the inevitable sale of the practice as being the lump sum to fund the retirement and dispelling that myth. They're also probably trying to plan for succession at some point because every business owner will leave their business, whether it's on their terms or somebody else's. So like I've done this exercise before, go through and name your ideal client avatar and qualitatively and quantitatively list out, hey, look at that. Next slide, Greg. It's almost like we've done this before. Where you're listing what are the problems that they're solving. Because at the end of the day, this top of the funnel that Greg's talking about is you being the resident authority and providing the information and knowledge that they need to do two things. Number one, build that social proof that you are the resident expert to be able to give them the information that's going to help them. And number two, have them feel confident in the decision by that by reading your information, they're now in a better place rather than you just booking some, or rather than you just sending them some sales material or some language that is boilerplate at best and salesy at worst. I know that's being very vague in that description, but again, as Greg has listed out here, list out the pain points of what your ideal client avatar, if you don't know what they are, go back and interview again in library. If you, I'll pull up the library and look at what it's under. I know we have the list of questions that I asked. I think I took that to maybe 15 optometrists when I was first breaking into this. Something along the lines of, like, this is not a sales call. I'm not talking to you as a client or as a prospective client. I'm just trying to learn anything and everything that I can about the optometric profession and what it means to be a practice owner. Do you have 30 to 45 minutes where I can interview? And I have these list of questions. I'll find the link and I'll put it in chat. So Greg, does that anything further that you want me to take that you want me to expand upon there?
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. Sometimes it's hard to get started with this, and in marketing, one of the most important things is to get started. You know, we need data. Something that I typically recommend is if you just want an easy way to start to tailor content to your ideal prospective client, think about the five questions that your clients typically have. Jumping on a call with ideal prospective clients is also a great thing to do. Those conversations where all the gold is. But if you think about five questions that your ideal clients typically have, you can plan to create content that answers those questions just as a way to start if you want to get started quickly. See, what's my next slide? Before I go to the next slide, I want to talk about avoiding the content hamster wheel. You can work really hard for a really, really long time creating awesome content that doesn't do anything, that doesn't get results. And content that gets results gets leads. Okay. So the way that we get people into our funnel, sorry, I'm just going back here a little bit, is with traffic that we send to a landing page with calls to action. And I'm going to explain more about calls to action in a minute, but think about the five questions that your ideal clients typically have, and then plan to create some content that answers those questions just as a place to start. Okay. If you have questions about this, over a series of, I don't know, several years creating content for my businesses and also helping our clients, I've created an entire template that I use before creating any content. It helps me think through the topic. It helps me think through the keywords. It also helps me position my lead magnet for next steps. It includes 5 content archetypes, so the types of content that I have found are most effective to create. I also have outlines in there that you could use as a starting point, and steps for SEO to save time and avoid mistakes. So if you want this template, just send an email to greg@wellnodesign.com and put send me the stuff in the subject line. I actually don't have a bunch of fancy emails automated that I'm going to send you guys. Not at this time. I might do that in the future, but really, I just think that this would be helpful. So if you want it, just send me an email, send me the stuff in the subject line, and I'll send it over to you. All right. All right, let's talk about calls to action, okay? Because remember, you want your content to be a conversion asset, right? A conversion asset that drives people to your landing page to sign up for your lead magnet, or take whatever next step you want them to take on the process of becoming an ideal client or becoming a client. So an example of a call to action would be something like, sick of sky high real estate taxes? Get our free guide here. Now, let's talk about some tips really quick. One of the biggest things for a call to action in creating content that is a conversion asset, content that converts, is to consider the content of the current page as context, all right? I'm gonna give more examples of that in a moment. But what I mean by that is telling people to take a next step that doesn't have anything to do with what they're currently consuming is a surefire way to make sure that the content doesn't convert. I'll give some tips about how to do this in a little bit, but just know that that's a big piece. Another thing, state what the lead magnet is. Typically, it's like a guide, cheat sheet, or an ebook. And then give a clear and specific next step, and then use an action verb, get, download, grab, that sorts of things. Okay, we'll go into this more in a little bit, but these are some of the important things that will ensure that your calls to action, your content, produce results. Okay. Just a quick example of on-page context. So this is Christine. I don't know if Christine's here right now, but if you are, hi, Christine. We recently designed her site and it went live. This is just a screenshot from her homepage where we invite them to book a call. Now, if you look just below that, it says, well, what if I'm not ready to schedule a call? Then download our free tech equity blueprint to transform your equity into lasting wealth. Get my free blueprint. So see how there's context here? What if I'm not ready to schedule a call? That's because if people are going to schedule a call, but they don't want to, it might be because they're not ready yet. So you need to get them into your funnel anyways so that you can earn some trust. So this is an example of context. And then they click that, and then this pops up. We've prepared your blueprint. Blueprint, just tell us where to send it. All right. Okay. So getting people in, you want content that's tailored to your ideal prospective client. We need traffic. So things like podcasts, blog articles, live workshops, webinars, social media, anything like that, because you need the attention of your ideal client. And then we want to make sure that that content is a conversion asset. So it positions the lead magnet as the natural next step. Okay. All right. Let's talk about creating a great lead magnet. This is how we'll turn awareness into leads. So first we'll talk about what is a lead magnet. We're going to talk about the qualities of a great lead magnet. So what makes a great lead magnet? And then we'll talk about how to select a topic for your lead magnet. So a lead magnet is just a free thing that people exchange for their contact information. It brings leads into your marketing funnel, and it's just the equivalent of offering free samples at a grocery store. But if you've ever received anything for free from a company anywhere, anytime, in some way, it's likely that that was a lead magnet. Like going to the liquor store and them asking you if you want a free swig of something, right? I don't know.
No, it's true. I mean, like, think about it. When you go to Costco, right? The first thing that comes to mind is Costco, hey, you want a free sample? Like you can get a meal at Costco by just walking up and down the aisles and getting a free sample.
You can.
It's a lead magnet, right? You're getting a taste. You're getting an introduction as to what can come.
Right. And then I never do it anymore because for one, I understand what's going on. And once you learn marketing, you learn not to trust anything, unfortunately. But I know that if I get that sample, I'm going to feel like reciprocity to want to buy the thing. And I just don't want to put myself in that position. So, but anyway,
come over
that's
to my
what it
side,
is.
Greg. I unapologetically just grab every single sample because why not?
Why not? It's a free meal, right? I love it. Yeah, so that's basically what a lead magnet is.
Greg,
it's
let me
a free thing.
Let me real quick. I want to just make sure we get some of the questions in here.
Yeah.
Eric asks, I've read that leads are hesitant to share emails for lead magnets. Can you address when and how to ask for emails? And maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but do you want to save that question for Q&A or do you want to address it now?
I think we should save that for Q&A.
Okay.
That's
we'll
a
that.
Really great question. The answer is
okay.
It depends, and there's subtleties there. But yeah, that's a great question. Let's approach that.
So we call it
Q&A.
Tease.
So we have enough time for it. Yeah. Are there any others?
Yeah. So again, and I mentioned this in chat. If you do have questions, please use the Cvent to capture those questions because we're going to get through the content right now, and then we'll jump over to Q&A. And as people are chatting back and forth, we don't want to lose any questions in chat.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, move on. Moving on,
right.
I should say.
All right, let's look at qualities of a great lead magnet. By the way, everything that I'm sharing with you has come from personal experience of what I found works for me or what's worked for our clients. So none of this is theoretical. I have found that these are some of the criteria of a great lead magnet. It solves a specific problem, ideally for a quick win, and offers some immediate value. Anything that could help people save time, avoid mistakes, and is easy to consume. Things that condense a lot of information into a single place. So typically checklists, cheat sheets, templates, toolkits, guides, blueprints. Those are all those are all qualities that we have found, that I have found, make for a converting lead magnet. I'm going to give you some examples of lead magnets, not just in this presentation, but in the other two that we're going to be doing today, along with data, so conversion rate data. So if you're going to attend this one and then some of the other ones, you can expect to see more examples of lead magnets. There's just a couple quick examples. So we have Adam's 5 Tips for Financial Freedom, the Ultimate Practice Owner's Financial Planning Toolkit. This is Benjamin Brandt's lead magnet, the Ultimate Retire Ready Toolkit. And just so we're not using toolkit again, this is Christine's Tech Equity Blueprint. All right, so these are some examples of lead magnets that convert. Okay, selecting a topic for your lead magnet. We're going to go through this in more detail during the workshop next week, but these are really good questions to start with that I'll typically ask my clients when we're helping them select a good lead magnet to launch their website with. Think about if you have a process maybe that your clients find helpful or quickly solves a problem for them. Do you have anything like that already? Have you created any tools or templates like the template that I shared with you earlier? Have you created any tools? Oops. Have you created any tools or templates that you or your clients find helpful? And do you have a unique angle maybe, or a solution to a common problem? Anything that's unique that solves a problem? These are all great places to start and questions to answer if you're looking for a lead magnet to launch with. The reason why I'm suggesting these is because I want to help you avoid a generic lead magnet, things that people feel like they've heard or seen 100 times before, because it'll plummet conversion rates.
which is indirectly answering Eric's question, right? The very succinct answer to your question, which is easy to say, harder to do, deliver something of value to your reader and they will happily exchange an email address for it. Be very generic and specific, and or be very generic and non-specific and very vanilla in what you're offering. Download our free guide. To what? Okay, I'm being probably not too far off what we've probably seen on advisors' websites. The more specific you can be to what problem does this help me solve? What process does this help me fix? The more specific you can be, again, cost only becomes apparent in the absence of value. The cost for someone here, the equation that they're doing in their mind, we all like. The interesting juxtaposition of what we're talking about here is we also have a course that tells you how to not check your email and how to get out of checking your email and how to delegate that to somebody else. And the only emails that you want to see as an advisor are the ones that are valuable. So when you put yourself now in the creator mode, knowing that not everybody is taking email to the ruthless end that we are here at Limitless, but you still, everybody, my wife is a perfect example. She's my test subject because she checks everything. And I know that there are a lot of people that still do that. So, and again, as Greg will talk, I mean, it comes down to the subject line in your email when you get to, and again, I'm getting ahead of the curve here, but write something compelling, solve a problem, be specific, and people will happily spend the currency, if you will, of giving you permission to put something in their inbox.
Yeah. And the first lead magnet I ever created for my first website, barely anybody downloaded it. So you've got to experiment. You got to test, experiment, see what works, see what doesn't, do less of what doesn't work and more of what does work. And we're going to go into this more today and also in the workshops next week. So I'm going to do my best to give you as much specificity, and examples as I can to help you with this. All right. Let me look at my notes, make sure I'm not missing anything. Okay. All right. So in a nutshell, a free thing that people exchange their contact information for. Specificity is key. So it solves a specific problem, easy to consume. And this typically includes things like checklists, cheat sheets, templates, toolkits, guides, blueprints. You get the idea. All right. Now let's move on to mental model. Some tips, tricks, mistakes to avoid. I was considering whether or not to include this in the presentation, but I think that so much of marketing is mental, a mental game. Whether you're using techniques to psychologically help influence somebody to take the actions that you want, or more importantly, if you're the one who's doing the marketing yourself, it's just a mental game. So what I want to share with you are some things that I've learned. And also conversations that I have found frequently come up while working with our clients in doing this. The first is keep it simple. I think so many times, especially if we haven't marketed anything before or we don't have anything in place, wanting to get all our automation set up and everything perfect and all this fancy stuff can end up just being a fancy way to procrastinate. And really, where the magic happens with marketing is testing and exploration, just getting started and getting out there. So if you don't have a marketing system in place, I highly recommend starting, and by starting, keeping it simple. You can scale up and add complexity as you build stuff out. But in the beginning, do your best to strive for simplicity. And what I'm recommending we set up and what I'll show you how to set up definitely checks that box.
Greg, let me ask your opinion on something here real quick. Yo, just in the context of this overall process that we're going through, I have my thoughts, but I'm curious to hear if you'd agree with that or if you'd poke some more holes in the Swiss cheese, so to speak.
Wait on, man.
The way in which I embrace this, and here's why, was to start from the bottom of the funnel and work your way up. So starting with the sales process, by knowing that we have a systematized process for how a prospect comes through, and okay, we've got the say yes prospect process, right? That's why we've talked about that in Limitless. We get confident in that process and how we approach that. Then the middle of the, or the then as we work up this funnel, I started with just get, okay, I don't really even know how someone's subscribing to my email list, but here are the series of 10, I think it started out as eight. I think it's still eight. Eight emails over 8 weeks. I get one email a week. Here are the eight emails that someone gets when they subscribe to my list. Again, I don't know how they got it, but they got on the list. And once I got clearer and refined that down, then I started focusing on the top of funnel. Because, and the reason I thought about it that way was, if I start at the top and I don't have everything buttoned up underneath, you're priming, you're setting yourself up to overpromise and underdeliver on the experience. And to throw the cliche phrase in there, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. So buttoning up from the bottom up is how I thought about that. When you look at the I thought about that from the as you were talking about the mental model here. Do you agree? Anything that you would add or change to that logic?
No, I completely agree. Which is why we're starting with content that answers five big questions, talking to your ideal prospective client, creating the content that kind of gets out there first so that you can experiment with the calls to action. But you need something that offers value first before you can have anybody download it, right? So the lead magnet, when you're creating the content and even the content in the lead magnet, this is based off of something, right? It's based off of the interactions and the value you've provided to your clients. So there's two parts to this. The first part is having those conversations, knowing your ideal client, having an idea about how, about what you can test for lead magnets, and then putting it out there to see how people respond to it, and then getting experience just inviting people to use it and seeing how people respond, especially if you're just getting started. In the future, you can systemize things and you won't have to put as much effort into the experimentation phase in the beginning, but really, the conversations with your ideal prospective clients, it's where the magic happens, especially in the beginning. So Adam, both you and I mean, I think that have followed similar journeys in that. Another thing is, I put this here, but it sounds kind of negative, but prepare to be ignored. When I'm, from personal experience and also from talking with my clients and other entrepreneurs or marketers that I know, sometimes when you're first starting something, you think that you put a lot of expectation and pressure on yourself that it needs to be great, it needs to be good. But when you first start, oftentimes you're publishing content in a vacuum. You know, nobody's going to see it. It takes time to get attention and to get momentum. So you might not get ignored in the beginning. You might have a great launching pad to start from. But if you're just getting started, it's highly likely that a lot of people are going to feel, or you might feel ignored. And that's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be in the beginning. So don't put a ton of pressure on yourself or expect yourself to get a ton of visibility on the content that you create in the beginning. It's more important just to get started, see what happens and see what works. Okay. Another thing is, marketing online is not the only way to go. It is a path, but it's not the only path. Think about marketing in person, going to workshops or events, live events. Marketing online is great because it's pretty scalable, but it's harder to stand out in the beginning. Okay, so if you want more visibility, more attention, consider marketing in person as well. Right. Another thing is focusing on one funnel. I tell my clients a 12-month mental commitment. And what I mean by that is, let's say you're launching a podcast, right? Don't just do a few episodes over a month or two and then say, oh, well, it doesn't work. Do an episode, every week for 12 months. And then after those 12 months, you'll have a pretty good idea of whether or not that strategy is going to work. And by doing the same thing for 12 months, what I mean is not just doing the same thing, expecting different results, but do an episode every week and test different calls to action in the podcast episodes. Try different promotional techniques. Do that consistently for a year, and then that will tell you at the end of that time period, you'll have a pretty good idea if it's going to be successful or not. And then you can make a decision about, okay, well, maybe I don't like doing the podcast now. Maybe I'll try YouTube. But avoid shiny object syndrome and just have a 12-month mental commitment. Focus on one thing at a time before moving from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. All right. And another thing is to review the data so you know what isn't working and can do less of it. And we're going to be talking more about that in the analytics workshop later today. Now, we're getting closer on time, so I'm probably going to skip some stuff just to make sure. Okay, so this is an interesting slide. Probably be worth going into this for a little bit more. All right, so same. Okay, so this is actually a spreadsheet that I use for one of my funnels. It was a paid traffic campaign. Each one of these lines is a day. All right, this is the amount of people who saw the content. And then these are the different stages that we tracked, okay? So you can see a marketing funnel is typically top to down, right? Top to bottom, right? But this is left to right, okay? So we have the amount of people who saw the ads, the amount of people who clicked and then opted into the landing page, and then the amount of people who scheduled a session, so who booked a call, all right? Now, having visibility on each one of these layers is so important because you can identify where bottlenecks in the process are happening and then do something called A-B split testing that's designed to get more people to move from left to right in your funnel or top to bottom. And having visibility on all this data is critical because otherwise you don't know what's going on. But remember, in the beginning, unless you're doing a paid traffic campaign, you're not going to have all of this data, right? You just need to get started so that you can get the data to make the decisions. But this is an example of using data and the value of data to monitor your funnel. Go ahead,
Greg. I was going to say, I can't emphasize again the importance of data for those of you that that attended my podcasting session or my surfing lesson, if you will, on podcasting. Everything that I showed you was data-driven. The number of downloads that we get, the number of triage calls that were booked because of the podcast, what our average download time is over 30 days. Like what gets measured gets managed, and what gets managed gets improved. So whether you're compiling the data, hopefully you're not, or you're using systems like this to track the data and your open rates and your click-through rates, like you have to use a system and also book time on your calendar to review the data, create that working block. That's why the third Monday of every month for me is practice financials and metrics. That's a time block that I have when I'm looking at this. So have someone like Greg or their team compile that data, but you as the CEO of your firm, you have to time block that time to review the data.
Yeah. Yeah, it's critical. When I was doing this particular funnel, when I was modeling this funnel, I was doing that every day. See, every day I was going into the data. But again, in the beginning, you're not going to have this, right? It's more important just to get started, to create content and do experiments so that you can get the data and make decisions. One last thing I did want to mention, see how at the top of the funnel here on the left, see how many views the content's getting, right? Then see how many sessions actually were booked. You can't tell, but it's 6. That's why it's a funnel, right? As you move down, you can think of each lead as like a grain of sand in a funnel, right? And then as they move through the funnel, there's just less room in the funnel. That's because way more people are going to read or listen to your content than are going to sign up for your lead magnet. And way more people are going to sign up for your lead magnet than are going to schedule a call, okay? So that's why it's a funnel. More space at the top and then less space at the stages as they go down, all right? Okay. So what this is every month we review with you the work that we did. We review what the metrics, the experiments we're running, what went well, what didn't, And the reason why I wanted to share this with you is because if you're going to have somebody do this, it's really important that you have conversations and alignment around data, what's going on, what's been done, how it went, what worked well, what didn't, and what you're going to be working on next. So if you're going to be working with somebody, definitely implement something like this to hold each other accountable. So if you want those templates, you can get the content template, the funnel metrics tracker that I share with you, and that level 10 template, which is this. I call this a level 10 document if you're familiar with the traction model. Again, just send me an email and send me the stuff in the subject line. Okay. I hope you guys are doing good so far. I'm enjoying this. I'm really excited to do the Q&A, but remember, for a mental model, just do your best to keep it simple, especially in the beginning. Be open to experiment. This is what I wanted it to be, instead of be okay feeling ignored. But little mismatch on the slide there. Yeah, be open to experiment. That's the biggest thing with marketing, is just trying things, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't. Remember, marketing online is not the only way. It's easier to start marketing online, but it's often harder to get traction. So look for opportunities to market yourself in person if you can. Focus on one funnel, get that right, a 12-month mental commitment, and then always review the data so you know what's working, what isn't working, and then you can do less of it. All right. Okay. All right, so let's talk about lifestyle workshop pre-work. Remember what we're going to do. We're going to define your ideal client profile, decide your preferred communication channel, and then we're going to brainstorm 1 to 3 lead magnet concepts. So that's going to be the result of this work that we're going to do. I believe you should have this worksheet. If not, let Allison or somebody on the Limitless team know so that you can have that filled out. Do your best to include details such as demographics, psychographics, and key challenges they face. Also remember, what are their 5 most common questions? What are the 5 most common questions your clients or prospective clients typically ask? This will give you insights into the content that you could create so that it's tailored to your ideal prospective clients. All right, next, decide your preferred communication channel, your medium. I was going to say something, but I'll save that for the next slide. It's really important, I think, for you to pick content, pick a way to create content that is something that you enjoy, right? Instead of what somebody says you ought to do. For example, if you hate the idea of being on camera, then don't force yourself to do video, all right? If you don't like writing, then don't pressure yourself to start blogging, okay? If the idea of one-on-one interviews and conversations aren't your thing, then consider skipping launching a podcast. The idea here is you want to choose a content medium that you think you'll enjoy, that you see yourself enjoying, and then setting yourself up for success. There is nothing worse than creating content in a way that you don't enjoy and that isn't getting results and spending so much time on it. You want to set yourself up for success by putting yourself in a position to be successful by creating the content, at least in the way that you enjoy, all right? So remember, we have videos, audio, social media. You can do public speaking, right? These are all things that are different mediums that you could explore creating content with. Don't fall into the trap of expecting yourself to fit someone else's mold just because it worked for them. In the beginning, you're not going to know what you enjoy likely. Like you might, but you're not going to be able to necessarily make the decisions based on personal experience. You're going to have to go off of somebody else's recommendations in the beginning, right? But it's important to be open to try new things and to experiment. Focus on what you're good at and what you enjoy. So think about which content channels do you prefer and feel most comfortable with? Do you like the idea of writing articles or emails? Do you like the idea of doing videos and being on video? Do you enjoy social media? These are all important questions to ask yourself when you're making this decision. Another thing is, maybe you already have an audience somewhere it's definitely a good place to start and put more attention or focusing to. But remember, above all, don't pressure yourself to do things a certain way just because it worked for somebody else doesn't mean it's going to work for you. Experiment, observe, and put yourself in a position to be successful based on what you enjoy. All right, next, we want to talk about brainstorming 1 to 3 lead magnet concepts. So consider the information that we talked about earlier, blueprints, guides, cheat sheets, checklists, and there were some other questions that I had you you ask yourself. And then list some ideas for your first lead magnet, and then narrow the list to 3. This is going to be a big topic of conversation during the workshop next week. So if you're not 100% certain about how to approach this, that's okay. We're going to help you decide those and then narrow those and then create them, create your lead magnet during the workshop next week. Okay. But if you can get a head start on brainstorming 1 to 3 concepts, that would be ideal. All right. Let's do the Q&A. Well, first of all, did I miss anything? Any questions other than about the content of the workshop?
No, I don't think so. I think the only thing that we've got a lot of questions that we'll go through here. So I think we can just go ahead and dive right into those. I think the other part that I would emphasize a lot of this, again, ladies and gentlemen, is to give credit where credit's due, right? With Dan Sullivan and Ben Hardy, this is a who, not how. Yes, the how part is your intellectual property, what makes you special, the special sauce, the content that you're creating. Like Greg did not write my ultimate financial success toolkit. Or, by the way, great job on being able to fit 5 buzzwords into the title of 1 lead magnet. So
it works.
It works, right? Greg didn't write that. I wrote it, but it came over as a freaking Word document. But that was a hangup that I would have as an advisor. I would think, okay, I got to do this lead magnet thing. I don't know how to use Canva or Publisher or whatever tool that's out there. So, oh, geez, it just sounds like so much work. Let me go look at LinkedIn. Right. And then we immediately default to playing office and doing the least brain work intensive activity out there, which is usually checking social media or email. So your job is to get the knowledge that you have, which goes back to what Greg was talking about. What problem are you solving? What process can you give them? I can take you from this to this, go from here to here, right? Give them you're helping them and you have that information. Get it down on paper and let somebody else figure out how to A, get it into the system and B, create it.
Word. All right, let's get some questions going here.
All right. Let's see. We'll just kind of start from bottom and work our way up. Terry wants to know what electronic drum kit is that?
Let's start at the top because then people can upvote them.
Okay. Well, I was hoping that was going to be upvoted. If you see a question you like,
go ahead and upvote it, and then we'll be sure to get to it since we have a lot.
Upvote the fact that you want to see Greg do a drum solo by session's end. And
if we get. If 80% of the chat of the people who attend upvote it. Yeah, I'll do a quick little
don't give us a bone and
around.
On, dude. We'll make it happen. all right. So first question from Bridget. There's another. I love it. All right. In all seriousness, maybe we'll come back to the drum session if we have a minute. You're already at 4 votes, dude. You're doing a solo. I have a lead.
It's an electronic kit, so you'll only hear tapping. But
even if I can
anyway.
Get the visual, that'll be sufficient enough. So, all right. I've read that leads are hesitant to share their email for lead magnets. Can you comment on when and how to ask for email? So maybe we can unpack that a little bit more. I know I touched on that a little bit about just the concept of it's not as big of a deal as what we're thinking of as an advisor, as long as the content that we're putting out there is truly valuable and helping to solve that problem. I'm solving you, you know, helping you do this, your 5-point checklist to move from the north to the south, like whatever that might be, right? Do you want to talk a little bit more about that and the hesitancy, and maybe that's part of the mental model as well of just getting over that?
Well, you're right. People are hesitant to share their email address, but that's not just, you know, for you. It's in general, people are hesitant. Having a really good lead magnet and is one of the key ways to overcome that objection. I'll just give you a quick example. Let's look at Adam's, I call this a power lander. This is Adam's landing page, all right? So I think what you're talking about is there's two parts of this. The first part is, you know, you want something good, but you're also kind of like, you don't want to put something out there that isn't that great. You want to feel conviction and pride in the lead magnet that you're presenting. And a lot of the resistance, I think, that we would sometimes feel in wanting somebody to download it kind of goes away. And can be replaced by, you know, excitement, like, yeah, check this out. This is really great. But another thing is how you tell people what's in it, right? So for example, for Adam's toolkit on his power landing page, power lander, this is the page that they land on to sign up to receive his lead magnet. Here are some of the things that we tell them that they're going to get in it. And these are all things that are really valuable and compelling to Adam's ideal client. Look at these tools, like the Optometric Practice Profit and Loss Template, the OD Buyer's Dashboard, Post-Sale Cash Flow Spreadsheet, the Debt Snowball Card. Like, you know, this is awesome, right? Like what practice owner wouldn't want to download this? And that's kind of what you're going for.
By the way, don't get hung up on the fact that I can't give that away. That's the special sauce. That's the value that I provide. It's not, because the ideal people that you want to bring on as clients, the people that are going to download that are going to be the DIYers and possibly the validators. The DIYers, we don't want as clients. So you're happy to give away the value there. It's a scalable resource. The validators, you might want them as clients. You might be able to, quote unquote, convert them. But there's another subset of people that will download that as part of their due diligence and research, which is the absolute ideal client that you want, which are the delegators. Because the delegators will download that, looking at that, thinking, wow, this is going to be really, really cool and valuable. And they download the post-sale cash flow spreadsheet. They look at it, they're like, holy you know what? This is a lot of really good information. I don't know that I trust myself to do this calculation the first time. How about I have another conversation with the person that actually created this valuable piece of information that I chose to download? Those are the people that you want. And that's why you, quote unquote, give away the value here, which again, hopefully we're making the point here that these downloads are not the value. And right. Again, I am but a drop in the bucket compared to the OG in the space, in our space. Look at Kitsis' website, right? The amount of intellectual property that he has given away on Kitsis.com, that's the benchmark that we're in our space, right? His is probably the pinnacle benchmark of a platform to use when you think of being hung up on that, I don't want to give it all away. And he's doing okay in both impact as well as business enterprise value.
And how to invite somebody to download or sign up for your lead magnet, those calls to action, definitely is more art than science, and requires just experimentation and seeing what resonates and what's comfortable for you as you get into it. Because I guarantee you, asking somebody to download your lead magnet in the beginning, the first couple of times you do it, isn't going to feel comfortable. So plan on that, right? But it's just about experimentation and seeing what works for you. And remember, we're going to get into this more, especially next week, so we can talk about this in more detail. I can give some more specific examples, which it's harder to do that kind of in this setting. But having a lead magnet that you feel really good about is a key first step to a lot of that resistance kind of falling down. Because instead of being like, oh, I don't want to share this with you because you're not going to download it anyway, you're like, nah, this is an awesome thing. So
go check Eric, it. I know Eric Walters, you asked a question there. Does that help? Any additional context or clarifying thoughts that you have or response?
No, that's perfect. Yeah, okay. Thank you. I think it's a lot of head trash about whether it's any good. And I think just putting something really, really great out there that resonates, I think that addresses it.
Yep. This is a ready, fire, aim approach. Do it, absolutely. Right? Put in the work to execute on it. Put it out there. And then to Greg's point, measure the data and see what percentage of people are downloading it. Even if they are starting to download, that's where you start getting into the A/B testing, where now you have kind of that null knot from a statistical analysis standpoint. Tweak something of that and just see how that starts trending. If it starts going down, like, okay, well, go back to what was working and tweak it differently. Because if you find something that's working better, that's the incremental improvement. So many times, especially we as advisors, get hung up in that ready, you know, ready, aim, ready, aim, like, just fight, just execute, and then figure out how to make it better.
Hey, Adam, I went to your website. Where do I click to get that? Because I didn't see it on the homepage.
It's at the bottom of the homepage, but if you type in integratedpwn.com/toolkit, you'll go directly to the...
No, I just needed to see like how you have transitioned from the homepage to that
page. Yeah, don't download it. You'll mess up my conversion numbers. Oh. Yeah. No, I say that somewhat seriously. If you want to see the toolkit, I'm happy to paste it, or we can share it as a resource. It might be in the library. I'm not sure, Allison, but I'm happy to share the toolkit and the spreadsheet. And kudos to Greg and his team. They did a good job of beautifying the ultimate financial success toolkit. But the spreadsheet it's a spreadsheet. It's nothing fancy. So I can share that if you want.
Okay. So I noticed that when you click on get the free toolkit, it asks for the name and email address right away. It doesn't take to that landing page where it shows, where it says, this is what you get. Mm-hmm. And that's,
yeah,
because I thought first you're supposed to show them what they get before you ask for their email address.
Yeah, it depends on how you're getting them there. So what you're referring to is what I call a permission-based pop-up, where it's a call to action, and then a pop-up just shows a 3D mock-up of the guide, the toolkit. So it kind of just reduces the steps and the information people consume. Sometimes that's more appropriate than sending them to a landing page first. It just depends. But there are other paths that people can take directly to go to the toolkit download page, the PowerLander directly. So it just depends on how you want to funnel people to those pages and the context that you're sending them from. And an example of, you know, just kind of building in public and experimentation, I'll just quickly just share my screen with you guys again.
So you guys decide that as well, like which one is better? Because that's a lot of work right there, the experimentation, right? It takes so much time.
Yeah, it does. But this call to action, get the content, funnel metrics tracker, templates, send an email, send me the stuff. That's just an example of this in practice. Like, I don't have any fancy email automation sent out. I don't have any really products or services to sell in this funnel. I just was like, hey, I think these things are going to be helpful. I've made them and I've gotten use from them. And the content of this presentation, these templates are relevant to it because it'll help you. I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to want this stuff, right? I really don't, but I thought that it would be helpful. So, and it really didn't take a lot of work to build all, because I already had it all built. So it doesn't have to be fancy. But you're right, it does take experimentation and it does take time. You might nail it with your first one, but more than likely it'll take some iteration. So it might be your second, third, or fourth.
Well, let's use an example. Roshani put in, her next question that's gotten a couple of votes is a webinar video for the niche, for her niche that she did. Is that a good lead magnet? Is a webinar, click here to register to watch this recorded webinar. I'm wordsmithing here on the fly. I'm not saying that's the exact language that you'd use, but what are your thoughts on, I've got some comments, but curious to hear your thoughts on utilizing a webinar as a lead magnet or watching a pre-recorded or watching a webinar, like an evergreen webinar, as a lead magnet.
Yeah, those can be very effective conversion tools. It depends on the framing and how you position what the webinar is. Typically, I haven't found much success with framing things as just like a webinar or like a newsletter sign up. Those conversion rates for those tend to be pretty low. So do it's something more like a masterclass or a free course or a training. It's probably better framing, even though it is a webinar. Typically, what I would recommend is breaking it up into content blocks that go out over a series of days. And this is all about how you frame the webinar or the content of the webinar on your website, on the landing page, in the content and calls to action. What is the topic of the webinar? I'm curious. Is this like live or is it more theoretical right now?
No, I've already recorded it. It's about how to maximize stock options, company stock options.
Okay. So the way that you frame this in the content is going to be important. And so what I would be looking to do is I would be thinking about, okay, well, what's top of funnel content that is relevant to this that would make the workshop, signing up for the webinar a natural next step. So is there anything in the, that webinar that would be really interesting or compelling to somebody who's in your ideal target market, like something that would fit the criteria for a good lead magnet, save time, avoid mistakes, clarify or
reduce taxes, maximize wealth creation, right?
Yes, all of it. Yeah, reduce taxes, mistakes to avoid, how to exercise and sell, when to exercise and sell, what information you need to know.
Okay. Let me just give a quick example. Is this equity stock options, equity comp? This is, I don't know. This might be a similar. Let me just do. This is Christine's blueprint. And this is working pretty well for Christine. So this is the equity, tech equity blueprint. So her ideal clients are, they work for startups, right? So they have equity compensation. What you want to do is, if you're doing a landing page or talking about what is in your lead magnet, you want it to be compelling, right? And ideally specific. So we talk about, golden handcuffs. That's something that when we interviewed Christine's clients, they consistently said they felt like, I work at a great place. I work with great, great people, but I feel like I can't leave. Golden handcuffs, right? So 7 steps to leverage your equity to slip free of those golden handcuffs. Avoid missed income and take advantage of compensation opportunities. So this helps them. This sheds light on or hints at, hey, there's income that you might be missing out on that you didn't know about. And there are quick tips in there that just, once they know it, they can't unknow it. And it's like, oh gosh, yes. Okay. Boom. That helps. So mentioning things like that on the landing page or in the content of your top of funnel pieces to get people to sign up is really important. And during the workshop next week, I actually created a special AI tool that I'm going to help you guys use to help us brainstorm good lead magnet content and content for landing pages. So stay tuned, because we're going to talk about that. Any other questions?
About that one? Roshani, any follow-up on that?
No,
yeah, so there's other questions, but...
Yeah. Well, so I was actually, you know, thinking, should I just give the video out just in my website, say, you know, watch video here, and that will, you know, ensure that a lot more people watch it, which is also great. Or should I make it a lead magnet and do that kind of a gatekeeping and ask for emails and all that? Which approach is better? And I think somebody else also asked a similar question, and I can see merits of both.
Yeah. That's a good question. Just because it's challenging to answer this question definitively, because I'm not super familiar with your situation, and it's likely that getting to know it more intimately would change the recommendation. But I will tell you that if what I would be looking to do probably would be to condense and break up the webinar content into its punchiest sections, its most valuable, the most valuable pieces. And then I would be looking to experiment with repurposing that content in different mediums so that I could test what people respond best to. Mm-hmm. So it might be a PDF version of it. It might be a three-part masterclass or video series. Or maybe I use the workshop, the webinar content to create a guide or a cheat sheet that ends up being the call to action or the lead magnet, and the webinar is free content up front. The key is to experiment and see what works.
Yeah.
Once and then not doing it again, like actively practicing experimentation and trying different things is really the key.
Well, and whether you're going to put it behind a paywall or not, and I use like an email address as a paywall, right? Whether you're going to require them to pay for it or not, you're still going to have to write compelling copy and a sales page to get them to watch the video. Video is an incredibly competitive space right now. If you think of YouTube creators and content creators on YouTube, I mean, they are experimenting with the thumbnail. Like, there's a whole science and business behind the thumbnail that you have for your video. Should your mouth be open or closed? Should you make eye contact or not? They're measuring these conversion rates of whether your video gets clicked and played by the thumbnail of a video. So it's an incredibly competitive space to, well, compete for that attention. And I'm not sure if this is what you were implying or not, if all you're doing is posting your video on the website without any of what we're talking about here, whether it's free or not, there has to be a compelling reason for someone to be curious enough to click play on a however long minute video your webinar is about equity stock options. We think it's interesting. They don't, unless you sell them on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are really good ideas. I like the pre-planned course, because that I've seen a lot of people do that, and I've actually consumed myself from other people. So nice.
Doing a course is a lot of work. Greg knows all about that, as do I.
Yes, it is definitely a lot of work.
All right. What kind of A/B testing do you guys help do? Roshani, another question. I know that might be, I think we've kind of hit on that a little bit. The idea here is ready, fire, aim, right? We're getting something out there. We're putting it out there. And then you can A/B test anything. You can A/B test subject lines in your email. You can A/B test the content in the email. You can A/B test the content, the web pages that you put out there. So there's basically anything and everything. We can create a null not statistical analysis on it. But I don't know, Greg, if you have some thoughts on the prioritization of what you would think about where to start with A/B testing. Yep. Maybe that's a a rework of the question?
Yeah, so it depends on the situation. If looking at the data, you want to spot opportunities, the biggest opportunities, the low-hanging fruit. So let's say you've got a lot of traffic coming to your website, but fewer conversions. What we would do would we would split test different calls to action on those, on your most visited pages, to see if we can drive more traffic to the conversion pages to get more signups. If you've got an email list and people are opening the emails, that would tell us that your subject lines in the emails are pretty good. But if people are reading them but not really clicking through the email, that would tell us that maybe the content of the email or the calls to action in the emails aren't really optimal. So we would start testing different versions of those. Or maybe you've got a podcast and a course you're wanting to promote and sell. And traffic to the landing page is lower. We would recommend split testing different calls to action in the content of the podcast itself, and then seeing how that changed traffic flow to the page. Those were all examples of different split tests that you can do. And it depends really on your situation, what you're wanting to do, and where the opportunities are, the biggest opportunities are, or where the bottlenecks are. And I think that's the key, is finding where the bottlenecks are and where the biggest opportunities lie. So you're not just split testing things that really probably won't have that big of an impact. It's difficult to answer that question with specificity, but hopefully those were some good examples.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it comes down to the data and you just start chiseling away at it. I know that's not the easy answer that every advisor wants to hear. I know we're all looking, hopefully we're past the point and we've managed and set expectations that with all of this, there is no lightning in a bottle. It starts somewhere. But the first part is you got to get stuff published. You got to get it out there and you have to start creating your baseline. All right, moving on. I have a lead magnet on my website, sends an email via MailChimp, and I'd like to use the same content on other platforms like LinkedIn or Instagram. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. You have a lead magnet on MailChimp and a landing page built through MailChimp.
Yeah, it sounds like, Bridget, maybe you want to expand on that. I have a lead magnet on my website. It sends an email via MailChimp, and I'd like to use the same content on other platforms like LinkedIn. So you're talking about like...
It's on like from my website, there's a pop-up. And actually, I just went to look for it and it's not on. So I don't know what's going on with that. But yeah, so if someone's on my site, then the pop-up comes up asking them if they want this checklist or, you know, five things to do to get your financial life in order after divorce. And then once they, so it's a connection between Squarespace and MailChimp. And then once they submit their email address, then they get a MailChimp email with the checklist.
Yeah. Is there a specific page or is it just a form that's embedded on your site?
I don't know. I had someone help me set it up. I had my web designer help me set it up, and it was active. And so I don't know why it's not right now.
Okay. To answer your question, yes, definitely do that. The key here is going to be, you're just going to want to be able to put a link like somewhere in your LinkedIn profile or something like that, that takes somebody to a page that's specifically designed to get somebody to sign up for the lead magnet. Just give you a quick example. If we look back at that, Adams integrated pwn.com/toolkit landing page, or Christine simplicitywealthmanagement.com/blueprint. You're just going to want to have a link that takes somebody from LinkedIn to sign up for your lead magnet, instead of just like your homepage on your site where they might click on the pop-up for the lead magnet. You just want to have a specific page where the intent of somebody visiting that page is to sign up for and download the lead magnet. Otherwise, it's just, you know, kind of confusing. But I would definitely experiment with that if I were you. And that's just part of the process.
Right. do you see anything as far as different platforms as like, is there a difference in success for like a particular tone or like length or, you know, type of content for LinkedIn versus Instagram or that sort of thing? Or is that just part of the experimentation?
Yeah. It's part of the experimenting. LinkedIn is more of a professional network. So content that's more tailored to that is typically works better. Mm-hmm. It's just something that requires experimentation and seeing what works. Obviously,
the resident expert to think of when it comes to like social, the resident expert that I, from an advisor point of view, friend of mine here in town, actually, Thomas Koppelman, has done a phenomenal job of building his follower and has, I mean, the dude's going to hit $1 million in revenue at, dare I say, a meteoric rate, almost entirely through Twitter. He's done well-ish on LinkedIn, but Twitter has been his primary platform that he's built on. If you're looking to generate significant success on LinkedIn, my go-to resource that I punt advisors to is Justin Welsh. JustinWelsh.me is his website. He has basically the link, I forget what he calls it, the LinkedIn Masterclass or the LinkedIn Accelerator or Bootcamp or something like that. So JustinWelsh.me. And then I don't really ready for Instagram. I'm not on Instagram. I have an addictive enough personality. I don't need that algorithm in my life at all. So I don't know. Our podcast is on Instagram. Kyle does that. I'm sure there's more that we could be doing on Instagram. So I don't know how. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm by any stretch an Instagram expert. Greg, I'm not sure what type of experimentation and experience you have on Instagram. I know there are people out there that can talk about help building that following. The challenge is finding who you can trust in that space. I don't have a good resource. I apologize. Greg, I don't know what your thoughts are. If you know of any resident experts on how to build an authentic, genuine Instagram following rather than just buying leads or buying followers.
Yeah, no, I don't have anybody okay. specific that comes to mind.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. Any advice on how long or detailed a lead magnet should be? We advisors can get long-winded or detail-oriented at times. No. Brevity is one of my highest qualities and traits, Eric. I'm very short and succinct with all of my content.
Yeah. Sometimes long lead magnets are good. Other times they're not. It depends on the content and your ideal prospective client and the information in the lead magnet. You really want to be highly intentional with removing anything that doesn't need to be there out of respect for the reader's time and to increase the value of the lead magnet. If you, as the creator, go through and think through what needs to be in there to be most helpful and removes all the things that don't really need to be there, you've done that work, that thinking ahead of time, so that the person who downloads it doesn't have to do it. A lot of people don't take that extra step. They'll just put all the information in, and the hardest part is figuring out what doesn't need to be there, so they won't edit it and make it as short and succinct as possible. So that's not a specific answer, but really is to increase the perceived value of the lead magnet, having condensed information is really important, and doing your best to not be long-winded unnecessarily, unless there needs to be more information. But where you really want somebody to read that content, be like, yeah, this was really good. This was helpful. And in order for that to be the case, you need to hold their attention. So ChatGPT and some of these AI tools are great places to get started with this. And again, next week during the workshop, we'll go into this in more detail, and I'll give you guys some more specific recommendations, and we can brainstorm some stuff, and I can help you with your lead magnets.
Hey, Greg, it's Eric. Just a follow-up question. When you think about lead magnets, How would you guide us to balance engaging content versus engaging graphics? You know, so much of it is important in terms of design and how it looks, whether it's charts rather than just a, you know, 5-page PDF of text. How important is it to, you know, just get something out there that may be more text heavy if you don't have a graphic design background versus, you know, make it look, you know, engaging and make it look attractive?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, it doesn't matter how pretty your lead magnet looks if nobody sees it, if nobody downloads it, right? So I would always err on the side of experimentation first. It's more important to get it out there than for it to be perfect. If people start to download it, starts to get some traction, then, I mean, you're going to go back and you're going to revisit it. You're going to improve it. That depends on your personal tastes and how you want your lead magnet to be perceived and the quality of it at launch. Great graphics, helpful graphics do increase the perceived value of the lead magnet. It's just, you know, the truth. And a picture is worth 1,000 words. So having graphics in the lead magnet that help illustrate the content, illustrate and support the content in the lead magnet is just good user experience. But it takes more time, it takes more work. So you as the business owner will want to make that call, and having a strategic partner, if you're having somebody help with your marketing, can help you make the best decision and make that call. I don't know if that answers your question or not, but that's typically how I approach it.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
You got it, man.
Do you have more than one lead magnet, such as items to deliver in 8 emails that I send to get next steps? I think I remember, like, whether it's lead magnets or calls that, like, keep the process simple on the website. We don't want visitors of a website to be paralyzed by 18 different decisions. Greg, I think the way that we thought about our website was to, I've thought about like breaking people into the no ways, some days, right aways. So the no ways are the people that are there just gathering information, right? Those are the DIY investors. The some days, those are the people that we want to nurture, which is why we want to offer them the ultimate optometry success toolkit to download, to give, to have permission to now communicate with them through the 8-week, 8 email sequence to give them more information on our process, the value that we deliver, and additional pieces of information that can, like, I'm giving them value in that email. It's not just 8 emails about, hey, become a client, become a client, become a client, become a client. It's like, those 8 emails, there's value that we're delivering. There's not advice, but information that we're sharing in those 8 emails. Those are the some days. And then the right-aways, right? Those are the triage calls. Hey, I'm here because of something that Adam did, and I want to book a call. Great. You're ready to buy right now. Why would I make it any more difficult for them to book a call right now? That's the other CTA. Yeah. So in my thought for advisors, you need 2 CTAs, the Sundays and the right-aways. And Greg, how would you think, any additional thoughts?
Yeah, the way that we approached your condensing your lead magnet was reducing the, I believe you had all of the things that we put into the toolkit as different things that they could download. So we just condensed it into one to reduce their the decisions they had to make and increase the perceived value of the toolkit of the lead magnet. There's something definitely in marketing called decision fatigue. And the more decisions you give people, the more likely they are not to make any decisions and not move forward. So being very specific and very clear, and ideally giving one option is the best place to start for lead capture. You can get more advanced as you build things out. Like some of my businesses, I have 3 or 4 different lead magnets, depending on where they're at on the site and the topics that they are learning about. But in the beginning, that's unnecessary complexity that just confuses people, but that will be more relevant as you build out your site, build out your content, and know what works and what's most valuable to people. as a next step. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right. I was chatting there a little bit. I think we did the pairing of the secondary call to actions with a primary schedule call, two or three. Yeah, I mean, we just kind of talked about that.
Yes.
All right, Greg, there's only one question left. What kind of electronic drum kit is that? How about a solo to wrap up the session with four votes, by the way? So we didn't get 80%. So y'all have Greg gave the threshold at 80%. So he gave you the bar. Yeah. Y'all failed miserably at it.
That's okay. We have two more. We have two more presentations today. It's a TD. It's a TD50 Roland. Okay.
Would it be good for a six-year-old? Because my daughter keeps asking to play on the drums. Okay.
Oh, Adam, do not. You really want... My poor parents. That's all I have to... I've been playing since I was 10. My poor parents. Electronic drum kit's great because they're quieter. As a drummer, there's not as much feel. It doesn't feel as good as an acoustic kit. But, man, if I had an acoustic kit, they're so loud. My wife would divorce me.
So you're telling me I need to, in the new house, I need to build a soundproof drum room in the basement. I should have built that in the blueprints. But
oh yes, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, Ryan, did you touch my drum set? Right. I know you touched my drum set.
I love that movie.
All right.
Why are you sweating? I was watching Cops. All right, don't get me on a whole Step Brothers. We'll just
pulling you back. Okay. Well, we have a lunch break now, so take 30 minutes, stretch, eat some good food, and we'll see you back in about 30.
All right, everybody. Thank you.